I'm just so thankful this morning. Praise God. Thinking about what the Holy Spirit's done in my life, and my wife and I, Melissa, we've been married over 36 years, and you know, we've made plenty of mistakes. Anybody made mistakes? But thank God, through all our mistakes and failings, He's led us to a wonderful place. And I just want to read this this morning. I was meditating on this scripture. I'll just read this to you. Psalms 112 out of the Message. This is one of my favorite passages. This is a prophetic psalm. See, people in the Old Covenant, people in the Old Testament were not born again. They were spiritually dead people. So they didn't have the greater one in them. So what David was doing in Psalm 112, he was prophesying of the day we live in. He said this in Psalm 112, "Hallelujah, blessed man, blessed woman." I love just looking in the mirror and saying, "Blessed man." I love it when we get up in the morning, I look at Melissa and say, "Hey, blessed woman." See, we have to talk that way. And he says this, "The blessed man and woman who fear God, who cherish and relish His commandments, blessed beyond expectation. Their children are robust on the earth." So we need to talk that over our kids. That they're successful and they're prosperous and they're robust on the earth because they're our kids. Amen. They'll be influential and prosperous. The homes of the upright, how blessed. You just need to walk through your house and say, "How blessed. How blessed I am." Their houses brim with wealth and a generosity that never runs dry. And that's a good thing to say right there. Sunrise breaks through the darkness for good people. Amen. Now, good people, there can be a little bit murky because it makes you think that you've acted good in some way or another. But you know, God is good. God lives in me. That makes me good. So He's talking about me right here. Sunrise breaks through for me. The light breaks through me. God's grace and mercy and justice. The good person, that's me, is generous and lends lavishly. No shuffling or stumbling around for this one, but a sterling and solid and lasting reputation. Unfazed by rumor and gossip. And I love this. Heart ready, trusting God, spirit firm and unperturbed. Unperturbed. They'll not live in fear or dread. No matter what's going on in this world today that you see on the news, we'll not live in fear or dread. We'll be unperturbed and stand firm. Why? Because we have a greater one in us. And I love this. Ever blessed, relaxed among enemies. We can be relaxed among enemies. And you know, we don't really have enemies today. Like, you know, we could think of maybe Al-Qaeda or something like that. But in your daily life, you don't really have enemies. But what do you have? That person stabbed me in the back. That person did me wrong. They said something bad about me. See, we can be relaxed among that and walk in love and know that we're ever blessed. And I love this very last part. An honored life, a beautiful life. That should be the language of the new creature. An honored life and a beautiful life. Praise God. Life is good. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's why David said in Psalm 48, it's a beautiful situation. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the beauty of His holiness. And he said, beautiful for situation. What a beautiful place we're in right now. Isn't it the most wonderful time in history to be alive right now with what the Lord is doing? The revelation we have. You know, I look back 10 years ago and thought, man, I knew so much. And you grow a few more years and you realize I didn't know a thing. And just think if we go on to know the Lord, what we're going to know 10 years from now. With His revelation and His grace. Praise God. Amen. Amen. That should be our testimony every day. Let's put, guys, if y'all wouldn't mind, put Ruth chapter 1 up on the board for me. Amen. Now, those of you that have maybe never read the book of Ruth, it's a short book. It's only 4 chapters. I encourage you to read it sometime. It's a wonderful story. But just to give you, make a long story short, what happened there. There was a man named Elimelech who was from Bethlehem. And he had a wife named Naomi. And he had 2 sons. And those 2 sons married girls from Moab. They were Moabites. So Ruth was a Moabitess. She was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. And so over the course of time, Elimelech and both the boys died, leaving just the ladies by themselves. And so Naomi, the mother-in-law, had decided, I'm going to go back to where I'm from. And she told the girls, she said, you girls go back to where you're from. I bless you. Be warmed and filled. Go your way. Well, one of them's name was Orpah, and she decided she was going to go back to where she was from. But it says that Ruth, in chapter 1, verse 14, it says, Ruth clave unto her. That word clave means stuck like glue. Amen. And in verse 16 of chapter 1 of Ruth, It says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I'll lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God." So she made a pretty firm commitment there. "Where thou diest, I'll die. There I'll be buried, and the Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And it says, so they two went until they came. Verse 19 says, they came to Bethlehem. Now, does Bethlehem have any significance to us? Amen. And in Ruth chapter 2, in order to try to make a living, Ruth was gleaning in the field after the reapers came through and just getting basically the scraps. And so it says in verse 3 of Ruth chapter 2, it says, "She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech," who was her father-in-law, Naomi's husband. So he was kin to them. Now, the beautiful thing about the book of Ruth is that Boaz is a type of Christ, or a symbol, or a picture of Christ. He's called the kinsman redeemer. He was kin to him. You know, Jesus is concealed all throughout the New Testament. If you look for him and let the Holy Spirit, when you read your Old Testament, let the Holy Spirit reveal Jesus to you. He's all in there. He's in the Old Testament concealed, and in the New Testament, he's revealed to us. It says here that basically what happened was when she got to the field of Elimelech, Boaz noticed her and she had great favor with him. And all of a sudden she is part of his tribe there. And over the course of time, they married. And because of that, Ruth, who was a Moabite, so nobody, she became the great-grandmother of King David. And she became part of the lineages of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how about that? Now, one lady, Orpah, she departed and you never heard her name again. But Ruth has a book in the Bible for eternity. Praise God. Amen. And what I love about that story is she was a Gentile. She had no covenant with God. You know, we were that way one time, weren't we? But it says the Holy Spirit put her in a position to become part of the lineage of Jesus. So the Holy Spirit's always leading us to encounters with the Lord. And that's what that word, if you look at in verse 3, it says it was her hap to light. That's the Hebrew word kara, and it means an encounter. An encounter. She was supernaturally led to an encounter with Boaz. Now, this is not fate. You know, some people would call that fate, but you know, fate means it's inevitable. You had no choice about it. It was predetermined and predestined. But no, she could have made a choice. Orpah made a choice. But she said, "No, I'm going to follow your God, and I'm going to follow you, and nothing's going to separate us but death." And because of that commitment to follow God, it put her into position for that encounter. Amen. Amen. And you know, we can choose to follow the Holy Spirit, and we can choose not to. Amen. Now, I've had several of those type of what I like to call kara moments in my life, okay? And, you know, I was from a place where I went to a large high school. I was kind of a nobody. I wasn't an athlete, or I wasn't, you know, a brainiac. I wasn't popular. I know y'all can't believe that. I know. But, you know, like I said, just I didn't really have any great prospects for success, or, you know, didn't have big scholarships to big schools. I was just kind of one of the kids and didn't really fit in. But I had a grandmother that knew how to pray. She was one of those that jumped around the stove there. She knew the Holy Ghost. Amen. And she knew how to pray. And so, now when I say Holy Ghost, you know, sometimes that can confuse people. You know, the King James Bible was written over 400 years ago, and things meant different things back then. Back then, ghost to them just meant supernatural being. Well, he's a supernatural being. Amen. So Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit, if I use those two interchangeably, they mean the same thing. He's a supernatural being that's God. Amen. And so when I was about 17, my mother got tired of me borrowing gas money. I'd bought my first car, a candy apple red 1965 Mustang, two-door. All you muscle car guys, I know what you're thinking now. Amen. Black leather interior, and I love that car, but it ate some gas up. So Mom got tired of me borrowing gas money and strongly suggested I go get a part-time job. And so there was a place that was hiring down the road there, and I went and interviewed with them, and they hired me. And it just so happened. It just so happened that the man that was the manager there, he and I became friends. And it just so happened that he had a girlfriend who had a good friend named Melissa. Now, I lived in the Huffman area of Birmingham, if y'all know where that is. She's from Fultondale. In 1979, I never heard of Fultondale. Had no idea where it was, if it was even in the state of Alabama, even though it was just a few miles away. But thank God, it just so happened, they set us up, and 40 years later, here we are. But see, that was because my grandmother was praying for me. But here's a little story behind the story. During that time of me being just a nobody in a, you know, big school, I had always prayed about the woman I'd meet to marry. And what I didn't know was about the same time she was praying about the man she would meet to marry. See, we were following to know the Lord, and He had a Korah moment set up for us. Now, I didn't have to go apply for that job, and had I not, I probably would have never met her. But thank God. Aren't you glad we did? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I've been led to the best two careers of my life because it just seemed good to me in the Holy Ghost. I was doing fine, had a pretty good job going along there. And one day a friend of mine suggested, hey, I'm going to take this real estate class. Why don't you go with me? Well, I never thought about that before, but it just seemed right. Okay, I'll go with you. Next thing I know, 15 years went by and I had a very nice career. And then about that time, Melissa lost her health insurance from her job. And I was seeking new health insurance. And back before the Affordable Health Care Act, things were so different in the industry. And I talked to this man, and he said, hey, you're a realtor. Why don't you see about getting your insurance license? Those two would work well together. Well, at that time, I had two boys away in college, four cars, a mortgage, and gas was at $4 a gallon. And the real estate market began to do this. So I said, if it pays, I'm in. But it just seemed good. Well, I didn't know at that time what I was going to do with it. I didn't do a whole lot with it for a while. But then one day, a lady called me. Just so happened, a friend of mine got a job at a company. And she called me and said, I heard you have your insurance license. Would you like to come at work annual enrollment? I said, if it pays, I'm in. And because of that one encounter, I work for a company today doing a job that I'm very pleased with and very happy with, very blessed with. But I didn't have to get that insurance license. I didn't have to get that real estate license. But because all that time we were following to know the Lord, He put us in those positions. Praise God. You know, when I said it seemed good, if y'all put Acts chapter 15, verse 28 up on the screen. You know, this is something about being led by the Holy Spirit that we just need to know and understand that there are times, there's not going to be anything spectacular come along with it. There's not always going to be somebody come up to you and give you a word and say, I believe you need to do this. Or you're going to have some kind of huge, spectacular moment. Sometimes it's going to seem good to you. And he says here, this was the story about when, after the day of Pentecost, and the church had been established there in Jerusalem, the Pharisees began, as the Gentiles began to get saved, the Pharisees wanted them to get circumcised and obey the law of Moses, in addition to being Christians. And so, to make a long story short, Peter finally stood up about that and said, brothers, he said, why should we put a yoke upon the back of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we could bear? Nobody could bear the law and keep all 600 plus commandments. And we know that if you fail in one area, you fail in all of them. So nobody could do it. And he said this in Acts 15:28. He said, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon them no greater burden than necessary things. Now, there are some necessary things, and they mention those, but not to put a burden. But what I love about that is it just seemed good to us in the Holy Ghost. As you follow the Lord and you're making decisions, it should just seem good to you in the Holy Ghost. Follow in peace. Now, let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. I'm going to ask you to put it up in the Amplified Classic Bible. This is my favorite. Colossians 3:15 from the Amplified Classic says, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule. And I love this. Act as umpire continually. Now, y'all know what an umpire does, right? He makes the call. He makes the call. Now, there's no instant replay with this, okay? As there are in so many things today. The umpire makes the call. The Holy Spirit makes the call. And he says, let the peace of God rule. You know, so peace should make the rules. If something goes against peace, that's against the rules. Let the peace of God rule and make the call on the inside of your heart. And this is how we're led by the Holy Spirit. He says, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds that in that peaceful state to which as members of Christ's one body, you were so called to live. It's this way we were called to live, by peace. He's the Spirit of peace. Amen. And so your mind may be telling you one thing, but when there's peace here, that's what you go with. That's the call. You know, on the baseball field, everybody in the dugout may not agree with the call, but the ump made the call. Well, the Holy Ghost makes the call. The Holy Spirit makes the call. And that call is always peace. Amen. Amen. And like I said, this is not something that's fate. We follow to know the Lord as we walk through our life. You know how I became to know here, how I came to be here today was one of those Kerah moments. I had no idea 4 years ago I would be stepping into the place and the calling and the gift that I'm walking in today. But it was a phone call from a man named Mark Manchin, who I didn't know very well, hadn't seen him in 30 years. Praise God. But there was a connection there because Pastor Frank actually married Melissa and I. So there was a connection there, but he just heard I was free. He needed a keyboard player. And I said, you know what? It seems good. And here we are today. And I'm so thankful. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And see, this is where relationship comes in with Him. We talked a lot about this in, over the past few months about acknowledging the Lord. See, you're acknowledging Him. You're looking into Him. You know, you're not just looking to somebody way out here. He's in here. You're looking to the God on the inside of you. And He's directing. And He's leading. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And you know what? I found out it's difficult sometimes when you're dealing with your mind and your emotions to differentiate these things. But there has to be a conscious awareness that you're a three-part being. I'm asking to put 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 on the board. This is familiar to some of us, but it may not be familiar to everyone. You see, we've been talking this year about enjoying life, right? Now, has anybody in here today besides me had any opportunities not to enjoy life this year so far? Just this past week, we had a situation in our family that was very difficult on Melissa. But you have to have a conscious awareness to know this, that joy is not based on your feelings. It's not. Praise God. You know, sometimes Melissa and I, we always do some type of a devotional every day and pray together. And it's just been our practice for many years. And many times with her, she'll become emotional and tear up because that's the way God touches her. And I don't normally do that. I get more excited and tense and want to shout. That's just me. And the thing is, she's so sweet about it, she'll always apologize to me. I said, honey, you don't have to apologize. But the point is, whether you cry or you don't cry has nothing to do with it. Joy is on the inside. Amen. And it's a choice to rejoice. Amen. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's lots of teaching that we've had over the years on spirit, soul, and body. But the bottom line is these things that come from our emotions are soulish. And the way you feel doesn't mean it's from your spirit. You can't feel your spirit. You can't. Now, you can feel things from your body, whether it's hot or cold or whatever the case may be, and you may feel one certain way in your emotions or mind. You may get sad, you may get glad. But if you just go by those things alone, you're going to be on a roller coaster ride every day of your life. So it takes a conscious awareness to understand that I'm a three-part being. And those things that are coming against my body or my mind are not my spirit. Amen. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. You know, many times I was here. Y'all know who Darlene Check is. She led Hillsong for many, many years. She's the girl that wrote Shout to the Lord. Any of y'all familiar with that song? And I got a chance to see her one time at a conference, and it's just amazing. She can just sit there and talk for hours and just listen. Such an anointing on her life. But people would begin to ask questions about how they would deal with it from the standpoint of the platform when they're leading praise and worship. And some people were happy and sad, and some people were just staring at them. And she said this, I'll never forget her. She said this, you cannot tell if a person's connecting with God by the outward appearance. You can't tell because you can't see their heart. Some people cry. Some people just stand there. Some people just close their eyes. And some people are bouncing off the walls. But see, those things are fleshly. Those things are soulish. You cannot see the spirit of a man. Praise God. So Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I'm going to read from the Amplified Classic. Now, the King James says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Yeah. I love the Amplified Classic. Counsel in the heart of man is like water in a deep well, but a man of understanding draws out counsel. That word has many meanings in the Hebrew there, but just suffice it to say, anything you need is inside of you like water down in a well. And if you understand that, you're going to draw it out. So when you're facing those opportunities not to enjoy life like we had this week, you have to have the conscious awareness to know, no, joy is down in me. And if I understand that, I'm going to draw it out. If something is shaking your peace today, peace is down in you. And if you understand it, you're going to draw it out. Wisdom. You got decisions to make? Wisdom's in you because Christ is your wisdom. And if you understand it, you'll draw it out. Now, Isaiah 12:3, I love this. Is a verse to me that matches. This is another one of those prophetic scriptures. Because in the book of Isaiah, he's an Old Testament prophet. They were not born again. So he's prophesying of our day. Isaiah 12:3 goes along with this wonderfully. Therefore, with joy, you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. So that deep well that's down in you is a well of salvation. It's a well of salvation. So everything that Jesus purchased at the cross belongs to us and it's down in us. Everything you need is in the kingdom. And Jesus said in Luke 17:21, the kingdom of God is in you. Healing's in the kingdom. Healing's in you. Peace is in the kingdom. Peace is in you. Favor's in the kingdom. Favor's in you. But we have to learn how to draw it out. Praise God. And let it dominate. See, that's the difference in what I'm talking about, this conscious awareness. When you're faced with something that's trying to shake your peace, you have to stop and say, no, I'm going to let the peace of God dominate my life. I'm not going to let the soul, I'm not going to let my flesh or what I'm feeling, because everybody deals with stuff. Everybody. You know, my whole Saturday was messed up yesterday and I was dealing with stuff because I had to fix some stuff at my dad's house that I didn't expect to. I didn't expect to be there 4 or 5 hours. I was being a blessing to him, but still, it gave me the temptation not to enjoy it. Because I was fixing a commode. And I don't enjoy that. I wish I'd never let people know I knew how to do that. So, Melissa's dad, he was a home builder. And bless his heart, he was so good to me all the years of my life. Every year he gave me a new power tool. And any time that something needed fixed at the house, I would call him. He'd say, hey boy, you're going to help me. And so we built decks and installed water heaters and did plumbing. He taught me how to do a little bit of everything. Now, I don't mean I do everything good, so okay. But Dad always calls. But it was an opportunity for me to say, no, I'm going to take the conscious awareness and know I'm going to enjoy life regardless of what's going on. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1. Now guys, like I said, it's okay to shout today. Amen. We were shouting a little while ago. Wendy, I heard you shouting over there. It was so funny. She was shouting so loud, I had my in-ears in with all the music playing. I could hear her over that. So I love Wendy's passion. Praise God. But you know, we need to shout more. Amen. When God sent His people into the promised land and they were dealt with walled cities, the first thing He told them to do was walk around it and do what? Shout. Told them to shout. Sometimes you need to shout it out. Praise God. Amen. Stir ourselves up. 2 Timothy 1 says this, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now those are very familiar scriptures. Most of us have heard those scriptures. I love that the spirit of power means this, strength. The spirit of strength. There's strength in you. There's strength in you by the Holy Ghost. And if you know it, you're going to draw it out. Amen. There's times, you know, that all of us feel tired. But we've learned to say this to each other. You'll go in the strength of the Lord God. And you've got plenty of strength to do what you need to do. And there's times that we don't feel like it. Just like anybody else. Everybody. The Amplified Classic version is my favorite of this passage. Amplified Classic says this. That's why I would remind you. Now he keeps saying the word remind. That's going to be significant here in a moment. I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you. See, fire is in you. Fire is in you by the means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders. So he says remind. Over and over, we have to be reminded. Every day and in every way, we have to be reminded to stir ourselves up. Because there's always going to be something that comes along that's going to aggravate you, frustrate you, try to shake your peace, try to get you to let go. and not stir yourself up. Now he says here, rekindle the embers of and fan the flame of. How many of you men like to build a fire? Every house Melissa and I've ever owned had a fireplace. And I could build me a fire now. It might be 30 degrees outside or 10 degrees outside. It's going to be 80 in that living room. Because we build that fire up. I mean, you're sweating in there. But I always love it. You know, it gets late at night and you're about to go to bed and that fire dies down and there's no more flame. And it looks like nothing's happening. Sometimes that's the way it is in our life. Looks like nothing's happening. But then you take that fireplace poker and you dig in there a little bit and that flame just jumps up because that flame's in there. That inner fire's on the inside of you. And all it takes is just a little bit of stirring to get it stirred up. And we have to have that conscious awareness to know when something is coming against us that's trying to suppress that fire in us, we have to stir it up. Stir it up. We have to speak up. Praise God. He said, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, craving, cringing, and fawning fear. That just sounds terrible, doesn't it? But he's talking about timidity. When that fire on the inside of you is being suppressed by something, you're just being timid. And Paul, now why would Paul tell Timothy that if you're being timid to stir yourself up, unless Timothy was dealing with that? Why else would he tell him that? It wasn't just because we'd have a good scripture for us one day. He says that, you know, that word cowardice is such a horrible word, you know. But it just means timidity or drawing back. You know, the enemy wants you to draw back from what you believe all the time. That's his goal. If he can deceive you and get you to being ruled by your feelings or your emotions or your body or looking at conditions and circumstances and get you to draw back from what you know is right, you've got to remind yourself, wait a minute. No. The Holy Ghost, the greater one, is on the inside of me. And he'll rise up big in me on this situation just like he has the other 450 times and put me over. And you're not going to feel like it. You know, unless you're in a church service where Derek and the group's up here singing and we're all dancing around and Wendy's shouting and the music's playing loud, you might feel like it right then. But then comes Tuesday afternoon. When your wife texts you and says they took Mama to the hospital in an ambulance. And you know you're in for a fight. You don't feel like it right then. You got to stir yourself up. Amen. Stir yourself up. See, the flesh doesn't like risk. The flesh doesn't like anything difficult. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He wants you to draw back. Amen. Lacking boldness. He goes on to say here in verse 8, I love this. I mean, why would he tell him this otherwise? Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. So he tells Timothy, the pastor of the church in Ephesus, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus or of me. Mm-hmm. Now why would he tell him that? Unless he'd been tempted. Now, Timothy was not pastoring in our day, okay? Well, we got churches on every corner and this wonderful light, beautiful atmospheres with coffee, okay? He was pastoring in an ancient time in a city of Ephesus, which had 250,000 people, and they started out with 12 disciples. That's a lot of plowing to do. So I'm sure there are times it was easy for Timothy to be timid and to try to back off, if for nothing else, for self-preservation. Because back in that day, if they didn't like what you preached, they'd just kill you. They'd just kill you. Amen. Amen. Now, Peter says the same thing twice. He says, I'm going to put you in remembrance. You have to remind yourself. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. If I don't have time to get that up, I'll just read it to you. I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And he says in 2 Peter 3, 1, says it twice in the same letter, I write this epistle to you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. See, we have to remind ourselves of who we are and speak up. You know, there was a story of a pastor that I knew years ago that had started learning some of these truths about the life of God on the inside of him and the Holy Spirit and the greater one. And he was awakened in the middle of the night by a woman who was crying and just inconsolable. And he thought something terrible, tragedy had happened. And so when he got to talking to her, just come to find out, she said, I just can't feel God anymore. I don't feel Him like I used to. And she's beside herself. And he said, I was visibly aggravated. He said, sister, if I went by feelings right now, I'd ask you to pray for me. Because she just woke him up in the middle of the night. He said, let me teach you something, okay? And so he took her hand, him and his wife, and they knelt down with her. And he just began to pray and said, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you that I'm a child of God, that I'm a new creature, that I'm born again, that my name's written in heaven. Oh, Lord, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit that's my helper, and He lives in me. He's the greater one in me, that I'm in Christ and He's in me. And he said as he began to do that, something just began to bubble up on the inside of him. And the lady said her own testimony was, a light came across your face. He said, that's the life of God. I stirred it up on the inside of me. So we have to speak up. Now there's a story in Acts chapter 21 and 22, if you take the time to go read it sometime, about Paul. Some of you have heard the story where he was going to Jerusalem and everybody was trying to convince him not to go. And there was a prophet named Agabus that came and he grabbed Paul's belt and he tied his own hands and feet up and said, thus shall it happen to the man who owns this belt if you go to Jerusalem. And all of the friends and family there and all the disciples were saying, don't go, don't go. And he said this, he said, I'm prepared to go and I'm prepared to die for the testimony of the Lord. So he went to Jerusalem. And as was prophesied, things got stirred up as he was preaching in the synagogue. And by the time that it got going good, it got the attention of the Romans. That wasn't good. You don't want the Romans to get to watching stuff because they're merciless. They're brutal. And so he was making so much trouble that the centurion said, let's bring him in here and let's examine him by scourging. That don't sound any fun to me. And so they took Paul and they tied him to a post with leather straps. They ripped his shirt off his back and they're back there warming up the lash. Y'all can imagine for just a moment. And all of a sudden Paul says, Wait a minute. Is it lawful for you to do this to a Roman? And then it was like, time out on the field. Time out. What do you mean by that, sir? He said, is it lawful for you to beat a man who's a Roman when he's not been convicted and sentenced? They went, wait a minute. Let's go get the captain of the guard and let's check this out. So they went and got the captain of the guard and he come to him and he said, sir, are you a Roman? Now, keep in mind here, he's still tied to the post with his shirt off his back, getting ready to be beaten. He said, sir, are you a Roman? He said, I am. He said, with great sum, I purchased that freedom. And Paul said, but I was born free. Amen. Now, can you get a picture of that? Yeah. There's times the enemy, through condemnation or guilt or whatever the case may be, is going to have you tied to a post, ready for you to beat yourself up over something. But you've got to say, wait a minute, is this lawful? Oh. Is this lawful for you to do this to me, a child of God? Yeah. I was born free. I was born free. So you've got to speak up. You got to speak up. Because condemnation and guilt and feelings and all these things are going to want to suppress these things on the inside of you. But you've got to remind yourself who you are. Now I always wondered why Paul waited until they were just about to hit him before he said anything. He knew he was a Roman. You know, here's a good point. It's not enough just to believe in your heart. Paul believed he was a Roman. He knew he was a Roman, but he didn't say anything. So it's not enough just to believe. You got to speak up. Amen. The moment they said scourge, I'd have been hollering, Roman, Roman, Roman. I'd have been hollering. Go get somebody who understands me. Praise God. But he waited. And you know, I wonder if maybe he did that because he knew he was supposed to suffer and possibly die in Jerusalem. But then he came to himself. There was a conscious awareness that came to him that this is not right. And there's times in our life, sometimes every single day, where you got to say, that's not right. That pain is not right. That financial situation is not right. That deal that's going on with my children, that ain't right. You don't have a lawful right. Why? Because we've been redeemed. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 for a moment. Like I said, you're not going to feel like it. You're not going to feel spiritual every day. Praise God. But you got to stir. You know, many, many times in the mornings I get up, you know, and I'm just like anybody else. I don't want to go to work today. I want to sleep. But then I begin to stir myself up and talk about, I'm going to rejoice today. This is a day the Lord has made and I'm going to rejoice in it. He's going to strengthen me today. And I'll have the time, the money, the strength I need, the happiness I need. He'll put me over. And it don't take much of that to get you going even before your coffee. Amen. Now he says here in chapter 5 verse 17, we're going to talk a little bit about how to stir ourselves up. And I just have it in my heart today to just maybe demonstrate a few things to you today. Amen. And I believe that if you'll engage with me and open up your heart, there's going to be some things imparted to you that I promise you you can put into use right away. Right away. It'll help. Now he says in verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So praise God. What he's about to tell us, if we'll listen, we won't be unwise. We'll be wise. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now what Spirit? The Holy Spirit? The Spirit of power? The Spirit of love? The Spirit of strength? The Spirit of peace? Be filled with the Spirit. One meaning of that word filled is cram. Cram full of the Spirit. Fill up your tank. You know, if you fill up your gas tank until it starts spitting out the hole, you know, if you get so full of God, it'll just start coming out of your mouth. You won't be able to help it. Amen? Just get full of it. Amen. Full of the Spirit. How do we do that? He says this, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. In other words, speaking to yourself. Amen. Amen. That's how it happens. Now, this type of being filled with the Spirit doesn't come by listening to a teaching about being filled with the Spirit. Amen. Now, we're teaching about it today. But that's not how you're going to get filled with the Spirit. Right. It's by speaking. Yes. It's by speaking. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody, singing. Amen. Giving thanks always. You know, faith, a person of faith is always rejoicing and giving thanks. And is glad. Glad. Even when you don't feel like it. Praise the Lord. The supply is there. And you know, we said that all these things are down on the inside of you. We're not trying to get anything. We're trying to release something. We're releasing what's on the inside of us. Because you know what? There's somebody that lives in you besides just you. There's somebody else in there. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now, when he talks about Psalms, like I said, we're just gonna demonstrate some things today. And I'm gonna get you, it's gonna be interactive. We're gonna join in some things today. Praise the Lord. There's Psalms of David. You know, David has Psalms. 150 of them. You can speak those things out. And there's a bunch of them that just get you shouting, and we'll look at them here in a moment. There's hymns. You know, a hymn is not an old song that's hundreds and hundreds of years old that you sing out of a book that smells like mothballs. That's not a hymn. A hymn is any song of praise or adoration to God. Any song of praise or adoration to God. And we got a bunch of them. And in spiritual songs, these are things, as we'll see, you sing by the Spirit. And before we begin to demonstrate this, I want to give just a little bit of insight into how these things work for anyone who's maybe new to the utterance gifts, new to these type of things. You know, it's good to explain. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 14. He said, I would rather, or I intend to, speak 5 words in my understanding than 10,000 words in a tongue. Now, he uses that contrast for a reason. You'd never speak 10,000 words in a tongue in a church service. I would be here all day. But what he's trying to say is just a little bit of explanation sets the stage for the supernatural. And leaders, he didn't say, I like to speak things in my own language. He said, my understanding. I want to speak you words in my understanding, so that leaders always want to impart understanding. It's important. Praise the Lord. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 says this, concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you to be ignorant or uninformed. You know, all of us are ignorant at some level. Praise the Lord. None of us are learning at all. None of us know it all. We're all learning. Praise God. And he says in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So these gifts of the Spirit are for our profit. Amen. When you profit, you come away better. You always come away better. And he mentions the 9 gifts of the Spirit here. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy, discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and another interpretation of tongues. The gift of tongues, diverse kinds of tongues, prophecy and interpretation are the gifts that say something. Now, we don't have time to do a lot of teaching. I encourage you all to come to Activate Wednesdays. That's our first Wednesday night service of every month. That's a great time to learn about the gifts, and it's a safe environment to be able to operate. We always love that time. Praise the Lord. Amen. And see, all these things, what you'll find out, folks, is he goes on in 1 Corinthians 14. There's 40 verses where Paul takes the time to instruct about the use of the utterance gifts in the church. That's all we really have for history. And sometimes he's talking about your personal time at home. Sometimes he's talking about utterance in the assembly. And sometimes he's talking about both, depending on the context. So all these things can be done at home as well. Amen. Amen. But these are all of the self-same Spirit. And then in chapter 14, verse 1 and verse 40, the first verse and the last verse summarize it all. The first verse says to follow after love, and the last verse says, let all things be done decently and in order. And that's the key. And that word decently also means honestly. You know, sometimes the most honest thing to say is, I don't know. Because we don't know everything, but we're learning and we're growing. What I love about Life of Faith is this is a growth atmosphere. The leaders are growing. The people are growing. And we set the stage for growth. And the Lord, more and more in our day, is wanting to have the move of the Spirit and the operation of the Holy Spirit in our services, because these gifts are for our profit. And the church has been reluctant. The church has been timid about these. But Paul clearly says in 1 Corinthians 14 that when these things operate in biblical order, it's attractive to people. Yeah. Amen. It draws people in. And you know, we don't want to devalue. I know that there are some modern translations of that verse that says, I would rather speak 5 words in a language or my understanding than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. Some modern translations call it babbling or gibberish. I don't like that. I don't like that at all, because it devalues the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that He chose to do when Jesus said the Holy Ghost is going to come on you on the day of Pentecost, and they spoke with tongues. And to call it gibberish or babbling is devaluing that. Amen. It's a precious thing for us. It's a precious thing for us. Amen. Jesus talked about it this way. He said in John 7, verse 37, He says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And He explained what He meant by that. He said, but this spake He of the Spirit, in verse 39, which they that should believe on Him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. So He's saying that what I'm talking about here is going to manifest on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit is given, and then you'll be able to come into me and drink by the Spirit, and you'll come be able to come and give drink by the Spirit. Amen. And Jennifer, I thought about this today. That's what's going to happen tonight. You've drank of the Spirit and you're going to give drink. Amen. She's going to be speaking at the Love Ladies Center tonight, and it's going to be a blessing. Rivers of living water. But you come to Him and you drink of the Spirit, and then you can give of the Spirit. Amen? And that's what the believer's here for. You know that song that says, He filled me with the Holy Ghost and told me to run home? No, He filled me with the Holy Ghost and told me to go to the world. That's what He told me to do. That's why we get filled with the Holy Ghost. Because there's power in it. Praise God. Amen. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to go through this quickly. And then we're going to do a couple other things. Amen. Now, talking about the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 14:3, he talks about, he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort, but he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. The key there is edification. Now, so many times when these gifts begin to operate, sometimes things can happen that upset people, and we understand that. That's why we're learning and we're growing. That's why we're teaching. Praise God. The answer for improper use is not to back away. The answer is to learn and to grow and use it properly. But see, what's more important than anything else is the edification of the body, not for me to do my thing. And we have to understand that. That's what he meant when he said follow love. It's more important that I love and prefer my brothers and sisters and what I do edify than to do my thing. Praise God. Amen. And prophecy is just an inspired utterance in your understanding. And of course, he says here that he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And he says here in verse 5, this is where I was talking about, I would intend, or I would, that you all spake with tongues, but rather, even in more impactful, that you prophesied, for greater or more impactful is it, because it takes more faith, that you would prophesy than speak with tongues, except you interpret. Why? That the church may receive edifying. Amen. Now, like I said, he says here, if a man speaking in an unknown tongue, he's speaking not unto men, but unto God. He's talking about prayer there. So it's absolutely in order when all of us stand up, and those of us that have been filled with the Spirit, and if you've not been filled with the Spirit today with the evidence of speaking in tongues, today's your day. If you desire it, we'll have the opportunity for that. But if we all stand up and begin to pray in the Spirit together, we're not speaking to you. We're speaking to God. Amen. So it's not necessary that that type of utterance be interpreted. Now he says in verse 6, that if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what am I going to profit you unless I give some type of interpretation or prophesy or give doctrine or give teaching so that you may be edifying or explain? Amen. So it's a different kind of utterance. If I come to you saying something in tongues, then it must be interpreted so that you receive edifying. I might be edified, but you would not. Amen. And he says here, In verse 19, yet in the church, again, I would rather speak those five words in my understanding so people receive understanding. Amen. Now, this is all going to track with Ephesians chapter 5 we had a moment ago about speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. In verse 15 of chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14, what is it then? I'll pray with the Spirit and I'll pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? And in verse 17, for verily thou givest thanks well. So all those things are mentioned the same way they are in Ephesians 5 about singing, making melody, giving thanks, all here in Paul's expose on the gifts of the Spirit. I can sing with the Spirit. I can pray with the Spirit. I can give thanks with the Spirit. I can bless with the Spirit. And I can do it with the understanding. Now notice in all these examples he gives, he says, I'll do it with the Spirit first. I'll pray with the Spirit, then the understanding. Amen. So there's an emphasis there that we can draw from. Praise God. And all of them track together. Amen. And then verse 18 says this. He said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than y'all. And one day as I was reading that, I may have told this story a few times, but it's so impactful to me that one day as I was reading that, four words leapt off the page in almost like 48 font. It said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more. And what the Lord was emphasizing to me today, that you need to speak in tongues more in your personal life, in your prayer life. Amen. 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 These are things that are important. Praise God. And you can take hold of that today. Now, Paul said speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're just going to demonstrate a few things to you today. Amen. That's what I have in my heart. You can read the Psalms of David, or you can speak psalms out of your own heart. Praise the Lord. Now he says, I'm just going to read a couple here. Psalm 5 verse 12. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, what thou compass him as with a shield. If things aren't going your way, you need to read that verse out loud. Thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, what thou compass him with, as with a shield. Praise the Lord. And then you can begin to speak out of your own spirit. I'm favored. I've got the favor of God on me. It leads me to victory. I'll overcome. I'll go over. I won't go under. I'm going to win. And you know, it doesn't have to rhyme. Now, many times I'll say things that rhyme, but it doesn't have to rhyme. This is not meant to be suitable for framing to put on Facebook or something like that. This is for you to edify your own spirit. And you know what? If you get stuck, Paul said, I'll pray with the Spirit and I'll pray with the understanding. So you'll understand what I'm doing if I speak in tongues and then interpret. These things can be done in assembly. They can be done at home. And I can tell you what, folks, many times people ask me, because I operate this way, that how did you do that? It's because I do it at home. You got to do it at home. You'll never be comfortable in public until you're comfortable in your own private prayer closet. I guess people sometimes think I'm a lunatic driving down the road because I'm speaking in tongues and speaking in psalms and worshiping, and I don't care. Amen. Amen. You read these psalms. He says here in Psalms 18, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. So you read that. Speak that over your life. Remind yourself that He's your rock. He's my God, my strength, in whom I'll trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. See, he said salvation. There's salvation in you. He's my rock. Oh, the Lord is my rock. He's my strength. He's my victory. In Him I'll trust. I won't be afraid of 10,000 people that come against me, because He'll put me over and cause me to win. He'll rise up and give illumination unto my mind and direction unto my spirit. Praise God. And like I said, if you get stuck, don't know what to say, just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Marama sokara basiste lagriste. And you get a little bit more. I'm favored above all because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I can sit at His table and I belong. I've been redeemed because He's purchased me. He's bought me and set me free. And I'm forever free because I belong to Him. Sala posta lakeshti lagabranda kosolo kote. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Sickness and disease and poverty and lack. He redeemed me from them all. And see, everybody here can do this. Everybody here can put this into practice. It doesn't have to rhyme. What it has to be is you speak out of your spirit. You need healing in your body. You begin to talk about how healed you are. By His stripes I'm healed. 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 You may not know anything else to say, but by His stripes I'm healed. Because I'm a healed man. I'm healthy and I'm strong. I've been redeemed from sickness and disease. The curse of the law, I've been redeemed from it all. I'm strong. I'm healthy. I will live long. I'm quick and I'm sharp. And I'm smart. Because He puts me over. You get up in the morning, you don't feel good. You just start talking about how, Lord, I just thank You for this day that the Lord has made. I'm ready to get going. It's going to be great. I'm going to start and I'm going to overcome. And I'm not going to be afraid of pressure and stress. The Lord's going to show me how to have the very best. Anything I need to do, I'll be to accomplish it because the greater one in me is going to see me through. And it's easy. It's easy. Begin to practice this at home. Pray with the Spirit and pray with the understanding. Amen. He goes on here, one of my favorites, I will go in the strength of the Lord God, Psalm 71:16. I'm telling you, you need that one on your refrigerator. You need it on your mirror. Because it doesn't matter what you're facing, I'll go in the strength of the Lord God. You don't know what to do, I'll go in the strength of the Lord God. You don't have the money, I'm going to go in the strength of the Lord God. You don't feel good, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. Having trouble with family, I'm going to go in the strength of the Lord God. Got to fix Dad's commode? I'm going to go in the strength of the Lord God. Praise God. And He'll put me over. Amen. What about grace? You know, sometimes you just think about God's grace. Oh, Lord, thank You for Your grace. Thank You that He took my place. He was beaten for me. He was punished for me. Oh, Lord. Now everything I have, everything You've done belongs to me. Oh, at the finished work of the cross, You set me free. You led me into victory. And that's all I'm going to talk. That's all I'm going to speak. Praise the Lord. Because the greater one's in me.